Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel. A delight to have you here. It is our post-fund drive edition, and I think it's safe to say that most of us in this room, okay, all of us, didn't expect that we would we would be doing a show on Monday, but here we are, and we're delighted, and we thank you very, very much for... that's gross, Alan.
What?
Alan showing us some of the remnants for the pre-fund. We figure that's probably a week and a half old.
I think it's a week and a half old. Some coffee coagulated in the bottom of a cup, and I left it in here, and it broke every rule in the book myself.
Your own rule.
I broke my own rule.
Well, but before we move on, an amazing fun drive. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Alan, what an amazing time. And wow.
It was miraculous.
Yeah.
It was miraculous. It was just unbelievable. Everywhere I go, people are congratulating us and congratulating themselves, which is exactly what they deserve to do.
Absolutely.
They made it happen. They wanted it to happen. And Mike, we thank you for the attention that the newspaper gave us, and appreciate that very much.
We like to recognize significant events in our community.
Mostly play, Mike. All right. Let us start. So again, thanks to everyone. Thanks for an amazing fun drive. And, we'll be back in June.
don't worry about it. Yeah. Some people will miss us, but that's the way it goes.
All right. So let us begin with some interesting topics in the news. We haven't been around for a week, so we have lots to talk about, right? And let us begin with, as soon as I actually find the link that I'm trying to bring up here, because apparently there we go. Eric Holder made an announcement on Friday, the Justice Department, to give married same-sex couples equal protection, and the Justice Department on Monday will make it official today, will instruct all of its employees across the country for the first time to give lawful same-sex marriages sweeping equal protection under the law in every program it administers, from courthouse proceedings to prison visits to the compensation of surviving spouses of public safety officers. In a new policy memo, the department will spell out the rights of same-sex couples, including the right to decline to give testimony that might incriminate their spouses, even if their marriages are not recognized in the state where the couple lives. A fairly significant announcement from the Attorney General.
Mike?
Well, it's going to give some fuel to the people who complain that too many things are being done by the Obama administration on its own. It's a unilateral act, a decision to not enforce DOMA, the Defense of the Marriage Act, which came, of course, after the Supreme Court threw that out.
But
in spite of, I think it's a very positive thing. I think it recognizes that this is the trend, this is the way it's going, and they need to put into place protections for people who are legally married and have all the rights that previously, opposite sex couples enjoyed under the law. But some will use this to complain that the Obama administration, there they go again. They're doing things on their own, and they're not getting Congress to approve it. Of course, the reason behind it is Congress never approves anything that Obama wants. But I'm afraid going to be some of the backlash of this.
I couldn't have said it any better. You really did set the stage so well, Mike. But the other part of this is to just think for a moment, sit back and think about why this is necessary. It's the nature of prejudice. You go back to Gordon Allport, you go back to all the sociologists. It's always the based on difference. They're different from me, therefore they shouldn't be allowed to do this. And this was a tremendous hurdle. I think the fact that this country has come this far, you look at what's happening in places, I think, like Nigeria and some of these other countries.
The Olympics.
The Olympics in Russia, which cheap tin horn politicians try to get people to like them based on you know, based on these differences and based on prejudice, and they know it. Look, there are plenty of people in this country who are still, you know, I think not in the right spot, but that's what I think as an individual. So it takes leadership of this kind to do it. I'm quite proud of Obama and of the Attorney General Holder for doing this.
Now, we should note that this is just one department within the federal government.
Right.
So it is now it is a major
agency.
Discussion? I don't know. Yeah. What's the word I'm looking for? A major step forward because of how it affects the criminal courts and how it affects the people who are going in and out of the justice system. So that, of course, is major. But still, obviously, a lot of other departments, and we'll see how that goes over time, although there is some mention in here of the Social Security Department. Considering the Health and Human Services said that legally married same-sex seniors on Medicare would be eligible for equal benefits and joint placement in nursing homes.
Well, there are some critics who would say that apart from the issue of same-sex marriage, just putting that aside, what this is in some regard is an extension, a reach by the federal government expanding its powers to the detriment of states' rights. You had Holder who intervened in Utah, even though the Supreme Court cast doubt on that particular same-sex marriage. And he said the federal government would recognize the 1,300 same-sex marriages that took place in that period when it was legal in Utah before the appeal went to the Supreme Court. So there are those who would say from a purely states' rights 10th Amendment issue, this is another attempt by the federal government to grab more power.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is in conflict with the laws in many states which prohibit same-sex marriage, and it's just one more, I guess, is it a federalist approach to things? Going on, Alan?
I don't think a lot of people understand the basic concept of federalism, which revolves around sovereignty is the ultimate authority in a state. And the United States is a little different from some countries in that we have shared sovereignty between the states and the federal government. And from the first day, this has been a struggle. And it goes back and forth. Sometimes we get a Supreme Court, which is, really states' rights oriented. And then you get other times when the federal government, for example, in health care. Well, how are you going to justify that health care is a federal problem as opposed to a state problem? The answer is it crosses state lines. So rules the Supreme Court of the United States. Otherwise, it would have been reserved to the states. And so courts have made these decisions. And starting with John Marshall and so many of the others, the federal authority has been expanded. It's that simple.
You know, while we're breaking our own rules here this morning, I'll break one, which is usually I don't read comments from the website on the stories that we talk about. But there is one comment on the Times story that I thought was really interesting, and I'm wondering how representative it is, and I'll ask you all after I read it, of perhaps a changing philosophy that people are developing. The writer writes, "I'm an evangelical Christian, part of the group that so many want to marginalize as whack jobs. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I believe he came to bring salvation to all of humanity. I'm not sure what I believe personally with respect to the morality of practicing homosexuality. I'm a product of my upbringing and religious training, and I am flawed and unlimited in my understanding of God's will. I have no idea how God will judge anyone gay or straight, but that prerogative is his, not mine. As a human being, a federal worker, and a citizen of the United States, I celebrate this announcement for its fairness, inclusiveness, and compassion."
Terrific.
Do you think that is starting to gain a tread?
He makes the point, as far as I'm concerned. There are a lot of people who don't understand homosexuality, who can't project themselves into a homosexual relationship. But there are those people who at that point say, But, you know, it doesn't matter that I can't understand it or that I even like it. What's important here is that these are citizens of the United States. They're born a little bit differently. They have different genetic components. And therefore, you got to respect their right to be human beings. That's what I think is going on here.
Yeah, and we are a country that respects the differences among us. And that person articulated that. I'll bet you, it doesn't say it there, but I'll bet you that person's fairly young. You know, probably under 40.
If that person is who that person says,
right. You know, that's always that's true. But I think though that whether that was a composite that some clever person created or if it was authentic, and I trust that it was authentic, that it,
why?
It does well because it sounded
such
to be from the heart.
No, I mean why? I mean he's in the newspaper business. People post comments all the time.
Well, we could take a tangent here about the whole issue of anonymous comments on stories on the internet, and you know it's just there. But whichever it is, and I'll grant you, it could have been a
lovely policy, a bit of policy wonking that
I
somebody
think there
put
are
into.
People who are raised in the Christian tradition who have come. Come down the pike, and they now recognize that the rights of gays to not face discrimination. It's the time to do that, and they may, as Alan said, may not embrace it, but they recognize that it's a necessary step forward. And I hear that from people who are otherwise conservative in their and fundamentalist in their beliefs, and I think that's the trend. So whether it was a composite, I think it actually did describe what's going on.
And your point about young, Mike, is a very good one, because we do know that the reason this change happened in this country, I think, is because young people have no tolerance for the old ways. There was a huge differential between the old thinking and the new thinking of young people. My kids, who are now 38 and 36, have no tolerance for it at all. They just think it's crazy that you wouldn't allow people to love the ones that they want to love.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago where, you know, states had laws that would have black schools and white schools.
Sure.
It wasn't that long ago that states banned marriage between opposite sexes if people were of different races. I mean, those just seem ridiculous when you look back at them. I think not too long from now, people will look back at bans on gay marriage and think, what were we waiting for?
I think Ray's caveat, I know we got to go, but I think Ray's caveat about people make stuff up on the web. They certainly do, and it's been one of my great bete noires.
That's why we have that's why I sort of have that rule in the first place. You know, you don't read it because you don't
know. I didn't even know we had
from.
That rule, but I'm glad you told me
now.
I'm
not comfortable with it because it can be. Also, I just want to quickly correct something that I said, but I attributed it to the New York Times. It's actually the Washington Post for the record.
Well, that's different.
For sure.
We're going to take a so obviously it's we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with other news of the day. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from Riverbend Animal Hospital, Route 9 in Hadley, Massachusetts, providing small animal medicine and wellness care, general and referral surgery, canine rehabilitation, laser therapy, and dentistry. RiverbendAnimal.com. Smith College Museum of Art, presenting The Eye is a Door, landscape photographs by Anne Whiston Spurn, now on view, exhibition-related programs and more, smith.edu/artmuseum for details. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tasting Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable and our panel discussion this morning. Mike Spain, Associate Editor of the Times Union in Albany, Ray Graff, our great newsman, and Alan Chartok. Good morning, all, and thank you very much for being with us. I don't know if I officially introduced everyone of the
Yeah, oh, no,
show.
I think you did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Or perhaps.
it's like going through the toll booth. and you don't remember whether you went through it or not.
Right. Or actually...
You're in driver's trance.
And sometimes...
Well, we're on the highway now, Alan.
Yes, we are.
It doesn't matter.
Or the low way. I mean,
it's sometimes about halfway through that trip, you're like, oh my God, I think I left the easy pass on the other car. Oh, what do I do now? Okay, next story. Edward Snowden. Intelligence officials investigating how Edward Snowden gained access to a huge trove of the country's most highly classified documents. So you figure there's, you know, there's this incredible supercomputer that he has with all kinds of amazing bells and whistles that is able to transcribe this stuff and make it sense. Well, apparently... That's not the case. Classified documents say that they have determined that he used inexpensive and widely available scrape software. That's right. The National Security Agency's networks and kept it at in even after he was briefly challenged by agency officials. Using web crawler software designed to search, index, and back up a website, Mr. Snowden scraped data out of our systems while he went about his day job, according to a senior intelligence official. We do not believe this was an individual sitting at a machine and downloading this much material in sequence. The official said the process, he added, was quite automated. So that sort of brings us back to our original question all along is, what should we be concerned about here? Snowden and what he actually disclosed, or how he got the information in our security systems where a fairly low-level guy would have access to this information that has got everybody in such a fury, if you will.
Well, Rosemary is not with us this morning only because she's sitting in some airport somewhere.
Right.
You know, victim of whatever. And her position always has been, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but that Snowden is a bit of a hero because,
right.
because, you know, and I understand a side of that argument extremely well. Joe, as you know, I've always felt you can't have democracy unless you have information. And he gave us a lot of information a lot of people didn't know about. So there are those
okay,
people.
Okay, but should it have been that easy to get?
No. No, but it just shows you the fallacy. I've talked about this ad nauseum, but, you know, here we have the CIA, the NSA, and everything else, and they're collecting data from everybody, microscopic bits of information. Communism is over, and, you know, when the wall goes down, nobody was prepared for it with all of that apparatus and all of that information. They didn't know what's coming down. You know, there's some ex post facto stuff that people will pro. What do they call it? But anyway, they would say they knew it, but that they didn't know it. So here you have this national bureaucracy supposed to do security. It can't. You have the schnook who's sitting down there, you know, looking at information, and he's supposed to be at the lowest level, you know. I don't even think he had clearance.
A technology contractor for the NSA in Hawaii, helping to manage the agency's computer systems in an outpost that focuses on China and North Korea. So he installs a web crawler.
In Hawaii. Now, this is in Hawaii.
In Hawaii, mm-hmm. also called a spider, automatically moves from website to website following links embedded in each document and can be programmed to copy everything in its path. Mr. Snowden appears to have set the parameters for the searches, including which subjects to look for and how deeply to follow links to documents and other data on the NSA's internal networks.
Yeah, it was an informed use of it. It
well,
wasn't simply
had,
you're right. they
plugging
said,
it in.
They
yeah.
said
that
he was
yeah.
either very lucky or this was extremely calculated, and yeah. I would vote for the latter. But, you know, the agency officials, according to this article from the New York Times, say, hey, if this happened at the NSA headquarters in Fort Meade, he doesn't get away with it. We have monitoring software that covers any large number of downloads that happen. Why didn't they put it in Hawaii?
Yeah,
they're focusing on North Korea and
geography,
China.
Right.
Well, it just goes to show you how vulnerable everything is. So there was a story last week about how many of the people who control the intercontinental ballistic missiles that have atomic warheads on them for the United States were cheating on their tests to make sure that they were qualified to do this.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just an anecdote to underscore that, you know, everything is smoke and mirrors sometimes, and there's a lot of vulnerability. You know, how many presidents could probably write in their memoir about how close we came to nuclear war, or how close we came to other, you know, other triggering other events that would have had devastating impacts, but somebody, you know, somebody messed up, but somebody caught it at the last minute. I mean, it's scary. It's just frightening about how vulnerable we are to
and
things.
The NSA hired a contracting firm by the name of Booz Allen.
Well, well,
small little group.
So you're saying they were boozing it up in Hawaii.
No, I'm just saying. I think
Mai Tais all around.
Yeah, there you go. We have to take a break. We'll be back after NPR News and continue with many other topics, including what's making news in the region and our seven states with the Times Union. We'd love to hear from you. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Again, we'll continue with our roundtable panel after this short break. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Monday morning, the 10th of February. A delight to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
The associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain, is here.
Good morning.
And WAMC newsman Ray Graff joins us.
Good morning.
Yes. Always, always excited.
In his subtle, low-key way.
That's right. We've been talking about many big stories and some of the stories that we haven't gotten to since we were away last week with Fun Drive. However, Mike brings us fresh from the pages of today's newspaper.
Well, you know, Mondays, James Odato of our Capitol Bureau always has an interesting column. You know, he focuses on state spending, you know, and where the money's coming from and where the money's going, and it's right. always interesting. Today, he focuses on the New York Power Authority and how they seem to be flush with cash. They've turned over $20 million to the state's general fund this year, and it looks like they're going to come up with another $5 million next year. And they still tend to give out lots of grants to community organizations in the towns and the cities and the places where they have facilities. Like out in Gilboa in Schoharie County, they're a benefactor to a lot of community events, and they support the you know, the history of the area and promotion of tourism out there. And they'll do that all over the state where they have their facilities.
Anything for radio stations?
You know, you could always
fire
give them a call.
Yeah,
that's it.
Emergency services.
And they were criticized a little by the previous attorney general, who happens to be the governor now, for having sort of a broader approach to it. And as a result of that, as Ray referenced, they're giving more to emergency services in the areas that they have their operations. But it just shows you how various state entities and funds move their way over to the general fund. And, you know, there were stories last week about how the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, another separate entity from the New York Power Authority, you know, is contributing money to the general fund in a way by funding some staffing positions in the governor's office. And a lot, lots of different agencies are coming forward to try to, you know, just help the state keep itself going, and money that might have gone elsewhere in previous years is all kind of coming there. And
where does,
you know,
the money come
bond
from?
Bond issue money sometimes it's operating money that they get from the federal government. It's sometimes there's criticism, of course, that some of this money is dedicated funds for specific purposes, and they're kind of like a transportation funds. Last week there was a story about how some transportation money was actually funding positions rather than going for infrastructure for which it was arguably originally intended. The governor's office said that it's going towards transportation by paying for positions and officials, et cetera.
So, I mean, if it's federal money that's coming in, or even earmarked
bond money, specific
bond money, and then it goes back to the state general fund, is that really cricket?
Well, sometimes it goes to the general fund like it does with the New York Power Authority that James Odato reports today, and sometimes it goes to fund particular programs or positions that are related and you could argue are not or are kosher within the terms of the bonding, but it's getting a little of attention, and you know, there's an interesting editorial about it in the Sunday Times Union, worth reading. You know,
well, no, but I
plug,
am.
Plug, plug.
Nice.
Plug,
I've
plug.
Never been a big fan of authorities, to be honest with you, because I think what happens is, you know, you got a state budget, you want to build a bridge. Figure out a way to pay for it with the state budget, even if you do it over a number of years. But do it. This business of Jim Odato pointing out that that they play a little, you know, I mean, it's very nice. My mother used to always talk about England giving away France's colonies. You know, who makes these guys with their largesse to be able to give to this or that? That's what the state government is. I think that every once in a while we come back to the authorities and their spending practices, and it's not healthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's controversial how many authorities there are and how they are able to shift money around and come to the aid of the budget people, the state budget people, when the chips are down. And this is just another example of how money works its way from authorities and other money that was intended for other things into writing the budget, I guess.
And sometimes they even cause traffic jams on the George Washington Bridge.
That was not in New York State. That was
well,
across
but it was the river. But it was an authority.
That's true.
Port authority.
A very powerful authority. Yeah. The Port Authority of New York, New Jersey. Indeed.
Well, that seems like the next place perhaps we should go then.
What a great segue.
Yes, it was a wonderful segue. Let's go there. And there was some news on the Christie front over the week that we were away. But the story I thought was interesting, and especially, Mike, I'm glad you're here for this, because it's I almost held it for Tuesday because I thought it was perfect for a discussion. Obviously, media project fodder. But so you're the Star Ledger editor. You endorse Governor Christie, and then all of this stuff comes out, and then you admit in your paper that you blew it.
I think at least they came forward and acknowledged that their endorsement for re-election of Governor Christie last fall was premature.
Well, you're on your editorial board, right?
Right.
Mike, is that something that newspapers would ordinarily have the guts to do, which is to say, we endorsed them, but it turns out this was bad news?
I think there's been a reluctance on the part of newspapers to admit they made mistakes and take a step back and see how things play out.
Right,
but I think when you make a mistake like this, I think it shows integrity. I think
sure.
it, the interesting thing is they still seem to want to support Christie, depending, like, if Huckabee were to get the Republican nomination or be in contention with Christie, they'd support Christie, they said. So, I mean, they're not completely withdrawing and saying everything that he's done is wrong, but they're saying they probably should have looked more closely at this whole bridge.
Well, they say we blew this one and we have buyer's remorse. So
they do,
it
right?
seems yeah. fairly strong, well, strongly worded that they are regretting their decision.
Well, there was a story earlier in the year about a paper in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that trashed the Gettysburg Address as kind of being not a very impactful speech by President Lincoln when he came to Pennsylvania.
And by the way, there were those people who did it at the time.
Right.
Because Everett, the previous speaker, spoke, I think, for 3 hours,
right.
something like that. And then Lincoln got up in a couple of minutes and gave this incredible speech. But there were some people who thought it wasn't worthy. Because
right,
was
right.
So
and they did apologize on the 100th anniversary of the delivery of that. So it did take them a long time to come around to the Harrisburg Patriot Ledger. But they did. And I, you know, this at least New Jersey did this much, much more
much
quickly.
Sooner.
Yes,
yes
right. Yeah. Yeah, but in real time.
I find the whole tradition of newspapers endorsing candidates to be very interesting. The radio stations don't do it, as far as I know.
Not all newspapers do.
Okay, take us inside the discussions, and how does it work in an editorial board when that decision is made?
I think that in a major race, I think it's it has to do with a lot of discussion about what's best for the community.
Who's in the discussion?
Well, the editorial board members. You know, often they will invite the candidates in.
In your case?
Well, in our case, it's probably a total of six people.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you sit around a table and
literally? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that comes after after two things. After The candidates have come in themselves and made their presentation, and we've interrogated them, and we've researched it before they came in to ask them about the issues that are confronting them. And then we sit back and we do more research and we talk about it, and I think that's fairly common. Yes.
I'm holding up my hand.
We all do that now. It's funny.
Yes.
Except when I'm at an undisclosed location, then it's very hard.
Indeed.
My word for the day is Weltanschauung. I've used it before.
Please elaborate.
But basically, it means worldview. Don't you think newspapers are almost predictable in who they're going to endorse? I mean, is the New York Times really not going to endorse Hillary Clinton the next time out?
But were they to endorse her opponent, that would be a profound statement. I mean, I think that many newspapers, you know, went for Reagan, went for Jimmy Carter in 1980 and then turned around and went for Reagan in 1984. Mm-hmm. You know, they switched. And I think that that kind of thing goes back and forth. George Bush, each Bush had newspapers endorse it the first time that didn't endorse him the second time. You know, it isn't all that predictable.
Well, then let me, that was my cultured English, you know.
Right.
Okay, but
we call that the Robert, right, the Robert Siegel. We call that.
Believe his English for a Belton show, oddly enough.
But let me, worldview, by the way. But let me just say that I don't know about this. I think there are some newspapers where you can almost, you know,
well, you know who the Post is going to endorse.
That's,
you know,
right.
Who,
you know,
the
Times is going to endorse. I pretty well know who the Times Union is going to endorse, although I'll enrage, you know, my wonderful colleague here. Pretty well. Maybe not for Assembly. Maybe not for State Senate. You know, but even there, I have a pretty good idea. Or in a congressional race. Whereas I think there are some newspapers that are always worried about what their constituents are thinking, you know, and are they going to not buy the paper? We have to be more centered and go either way. That's my position on having watched this for a while.
So let's just put this now into the hands of the editor of the Star Ledger, who says, look, we knew Christie was a bully, but we didn't know his crew was crazy enough to put people's lives at, his quote, lives at risk. Great. In Fort Lee as a means to pressure the mayor. So, I mean, looking at Alan's point of, you know, we sort of know where they're coming from, then to stand up and say, all right, we kind of screwed this up.
When did the endorsement take place?
Right before the November election.
Last fall.
Okay, and so this
some of this
news,
was coming out.
This news was, part of it was already out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, right.
They overlooked that and endorsed him for re-election based on other merits that they found in his performance.
There's one more thing I'd like to say. But here...
Yes, Robert Siegel, go ahead.
But I think that some newspapers like to be on the winning side. I'm not saying all newspapers do, but I think there are some newspapers which like to hold their finger up in the air, see which way the wind is blowing, and say, I want to be with the winner on this.
And we have, right.
Now, are you of the mind that it should, newspapers should do this, Alan? I'm not going to hold off on Mike as far as making endorsements, or should they be purveyors of news?
I have tried to explain this to you so many times, Raymond. There's a difference between should and is. Should is, no, I certainly don't think
newspapers should do endorsements?
No, they should not. Oh, endorsements.
Yes.
Yeah, they should.
Yes.
But when you said do this, I thought you meant stay ahead of the curve and be on the side of the winning candidate.
No, I mean in general, making endorsements. And some Mike said some newspapers do not do it.
I think they should for exactly the reason that Mike gave, which is, as always, intelligent. They do their research. They do their homework. They do their homework. They, you know, parse the whole thing.
But
and well, I'm not exactly done.
All right,
with
hurry
this. Up. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
All right. Now you've insulted me, and I'm shutting
up. But as a media entity, in other words, maybe TV stations do it, but I don't know of any radio stations that do it. And I think if we did do it, we would get in a lot of trouble.
No, we couldn't do
it. Well, but a commercial station, let's say. Why the difference? Yeah. That's my question.
Well, I think it has.
I think a newspaper has an incredibly important role in the community to provide guidance and leadership. That's why there's an editorial page every day for an exchange of ideas, some of which are the newspaper's opinion and some are very different opinions. It's an exchange of ideas. So when there's important decisions like whether or not we should approve a constitutional amendment on legalizing casino-type gambling, we should have a thoughtful, articulate direction on what people should do. And they ignored us. But anyways.
Sometimes they do. I mean, after all, Franklin Roosevelt was the president, got elected four times. And if you took a look at the Daily Mirror and the Daily News of the time, you would not have seen overwhelming endorsements.
But also, there. I mean, in most radio stations, I mean, especially the commercial stations we've worked for, Ray, I mean, you know, it was one guy with an addiction sitting in a corner,
well,
you know, reading the...
right, I mean, could barely read the racing form, let alone a, you know...
right, without burning...
Let alone an amendment.
Without burning it up from his cigarette or whatever else he was smoking.
But I am interested in the letters policy of... newspapers. I think this is fascinating stuff. You know,
I think we're bringing up old baggage here.
Time to take a break.
No, but very, very quickly, the idea that, yes, they put in a whole range of letters quite frequently, but often I think there's a philosophy behind that, too. I've always thought that the New York Times, you know, if you're Chuck Schumer and you write a letter to the New York Times, chances of getting in are pretty good. Not always, but pretty good. And if you're somebody who is not that... with it, and you write a letter saying the Ayatollah Khomeini. I had a student who did this, by the way. I said an A if you get two letters into the New York Times. And this guy writes a letter and he says the Ayatollah has it right. Instead of putting people in prison, if in fact they steal, cut off the hand. And the Times printed it. So, which shows, I think, a real tolerance and also shows that the other sides are idiots. And so...
Well, I think in the Times, and you were using the Schumer example, but if you have a strong conservative Republican who writes a letter to the Times will print it. I have found this, maybe not just the New York Times, just pointing them out, but they'll print it as a way to then slam them in the editorial page.
Either in the editorial page.
Or invite other letters that will slam him.
Yeah. Right.
Well.
But it's an exchange of ideas. And printing a letter like that probably, you know, that, you know, supporting the Ayatollah's brutal way of dealing with thieves would at least evoke emotion and generate some other letters, and it demonstrates that there you can go to the Times editorial page and see a variety of viewpoints.
Well, all I'm saying is the moment you have a selection process, and the Times certainly gets a lot of letters.
That's right.
Then you have to suspect the philosophy, at least I do, because I suspect everybody of everything, which is that let's have a criteria for what gets in. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And often, I mean, it's like applying to a college. You know, did you ever see a letter of rejection from a really fine college?
Yes, I have seen a few.
Yeah, I have seen,
right. We had 7,000 people apply for 250 openings at Berkeley Law School, and you met every single bit of our criteria. However, there just isn't room for you.
No, my letter didn't say that.
Right. but all I'm saying is that there is going to be only so much space on the editorial page. Yeah. For letters to the editor. We encourage them, but we can't promise that we'll print every one.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up our conversation. We'll talk Olympics for a few minutes. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. 518-580-8080. The Albany Academy and Albany Academy for Girls, single-gender education for boys and girls, co-educational opportunities in upper school, announcing prospective student visiting days February 18th through the 21st, albanyacademies.org, and Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck, Iyengar yoga for all ages and abilities, classes daily including restorative meditation and weekend workshops, a yoga practice helping to develop strength, flexibility, and peace of mind, clearyogarhinebeck.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel discussion this morning. A few minutes left and plenty of time to discuss more issues, which is exactly what we are going to do. Let us talk a little bit about the Olympics. So the Olympics, officially started on Thursday, and then on Friday were the opening ceremonies.
Yeah.
A glitch here, a glitch there. There was a snowflake that didn't open up and into Olympic ring. That made a lot of news over the weekend and a lot of snickers.
Someone's at a re-education camp now learning how to yes, that's turn light bulbs
right.
on and
there
whatnot.
There were comments that were far meaner than that.
Yes,
that,
well,
that,
by that, me, too, that, but that I really can't say them on the right. radio.
The one that Vladimir saw had off all the rings.
That's right. So the Russian television network went to
the tape of the rehearsal
where it worked.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
They were on a, 5-minute, 4-minute delay. And when they saw that it didn't work, they went immediately to the phony one.
But Vlad was there. He was in the crowd.
He was in the suite.
On the big screen. There's some question as to whether he even saw it, because they show the television going on, and he was like checking his email.
Oh.
Yeah, so
maybe somebody's, as Ray says, in re-education.
Right. Well, there you go. And so meanwhile, there's some, the security concerns continue. And there's a lot of different ways to go on this. There's the security concerns continue. There is the issue of, it seems like the whole hotel room, there's a lot of question of people, athletes
double booking
who are in the games, are saying that some of the conditions are not right and the courses are unsafe and prominent athletes are withdrawing from some competitions because they feel that the infrastructure isn't there to support what it is that they do, and they don't want to get killed. But meanwhile, ratings seem to be very, very good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not
I think
with
the
me.
Early
Well, SVU is on. I mean, let's be serious.
The primetime ratings seem to be good despite Bob Costas's pink eye.
Does it have to do with the time differential between the states and there?
Well, that's what I was going to bring up.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No,
well,
I think this is an absolute. This is a perfect point, and I would like to ask you all as how much. I mean, the Olympics is news, right?
Yep.
So if we win a medal at 2:30 in the morning, should we not see that medal at 2:30 in the morning, do we have to wait at till 8 o'clock at night?
Well, we were watching last night the women doing the snowboarding, and it was fascinating. See these young women flipping all over the
place.
And
we won, didn't we?
Well, yes, exactly. But we were watching it, and I said, I think that woman's from California. And I pull up my iPad and I look it up on the NBC site. Oh, and she won the gold medal.
Should have put some money on it.
And my wife says, oh. She already won it yet? It hadn't concluded, of course, on TV. So, I mean, there is that. Some people, if you don't want to, it's like a spoiler warning. If you don't want to know and you want to see who's going to win the women's hockey game, don't, either get up at 5:30 and
watch it. Or I could tell you, because I watched it live on cable, I could tell you who won the U.S.
Oh, is that right? You can watch it live on cable, but
sometimes,
not?
Sometimes
they offer.
Watched it this morning at 5:30, 6 o'clock.
And on certain events, they'll boil them down and show you the key things. They'll edit it down, and you'll watch it at night. Like figure skating, and by the time you're watching it, Ray already knows who won that gold.
You want to bet, put some money on
it? Do you remember the movie?
Bet on Switzerland.
You guys remember the movie The Crying Game?
Yes.
And
at the end they said, don't give away the secret of the end. Everybody,
right.
That's what you said. And I did hear. A year and a half later, I did. And people will still not talk to me about it.
Really?
About movies, yeah.
I think that, okay.
What?
Was it really a year and a half later?
Or
maybe, okay, maybe 2 weeks.
You're right.
No, I don't know.
I think it was while the movie was still perhaps. By the way, also, this happened in 1992.
Well, yeah.
It's the same
principle, right, Mike?
Yes, but it's the same thing, Joe, when you have an author on and you want to talk about their book. And the best part, you don't want to say anything.
That's
because
right.
You want someone to read the book.
But it's news.
Joe Donahue is
when
right.
When it comes to, let's just say the royal wedding. Okay, that's news. So we all have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to see the royal wedding. Why don't we have to get up to see? Do you know what I mean?
If you're an aficionado, you can watch it live. Our producer Jessica Blaustein Marshall, she's a skating aficionado. She can watch it online. This stuff happened live.
Also,
in the 24-hour news cycle with Twitter and with everything else, you're not going to avoid the news either
way. That's right. Well, that's
you better
what
get
I think
used
makes
to watching
it. Silly.
It
Let me know, tell you how the crying game actually
just watch, ended. just watch SVU, and you'll be fine.
Because now I'm just watching it at night to see if
highlights.
Costas's eye condition has improved.
He's wearing glasses now, right?
Yeah, his Woodrow Wilson glasses are looking real good now.
that stinks. all right, that's what we have time for today. We welcome you all back tomorrow, and thank you very much. we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.